Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues. It's always our delight and joy to have you join in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me remind you, let's not forget it. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Today we'll be talking about the war on God and Christian values, the war against God and Christian values. That's exactly what we see taking place in our society. You can see that loud and clear out of the Beltway in Washington when Jerry Nadler said, God has no place in Congress. God's will has no place in Congress. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly how the folks in the Beltway in Washington feel. That's how the general sense of society today stands. And I believe we need to face the issue and recognize that that is where we stand as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. And then the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, how should we then live? How will we respond to that? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's the truth book. The truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me challenge you with staying in the truth book. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Jesus is the epitome, the absolute fullness of the Godhead bodily, according to Colossians 2:9. And as such, he is truth. And then he goes on to say in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that we ought to stand on without any equivocation, without any apology, without any bowing or bending to what's found in society today, especially in the Beltway in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell in the writing of his dystopian novel entitled 1984, where Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be very, very true today. There's an absolute disdain for truth, and especially coming from the Word of God, especially coming from Christians, especially as we find it in the Word of God and how we ought to live it today. Therefore, it's the statement I believe that we need to understand and grasp from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's what we ought to do today, is to stand on the truth of the Word of God. It is so imperative today, the further we get into the last of the last days, that we know the truth, and that is knowing the Word of God and standing on it. Not from a political vantage point, not from a denominational dogma position, but what does the Word of God say? That's the first, final, and foremost that I would have us to understand, is to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about lawn care for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11 291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic American flag flows. 165-foot flagpole. At the top of that pole, you'll find the gigantic American flag flowing. And at the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we think about the subject, the war on God and Christian values. I believe we're seeing the increasing signs of the times, and signs of the times indicating the end of the age. God's word clearly states it in multiple places throughout the scripture. But in Matthew 24, verses 5 through 12, God's word clearly states that there's going to be an increasing worsening in society. So we need to be aware of that. We need to know what the word of God says. And we need to stand on the truth of the word of God. Before we get into the essence of it, and before we take our first call, let me extend to you a personal invitation to worship with us this Sunday, Easter Sunday, a great celebration scheduled for us at First Conservative Baptist Church, 8:30 to 9 o'clock. We'll have Easter breakfast. We are looking forward to having those that will join us for that Easter breakfast. It's 8:30 to 9 o'clock, just a brief period of time, but bring your own goodies and join with the others that have brought their goodies for breakfast celebration. Then at 9 o'clock till 9:45, we'll have Sunday morning Bible study, Sunday school, some call it. We call it Sunday morning Bible study. At 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock, 10 o'clock sharp, we'll have the morning worship service, wonderful gospel singing, looking at the wonderful songs relative to Easter and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pulpit message, we'll be talking about the proofs of the resurrection. And then we'll have, immediately following the morning worship from the pulpit, we'll have the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Some call it communion. We'll have that celebration. At the conclusion of that, we'll go into the rotunda. We'll have book signing. Our latest book, the latest book that we've had published, that I've had the privilege of researching, writing, preaching from the pulpit before, Proofs of the Resurrection. Every family that visits on Sunday morning for Easter service will receive a free copy, a free autographed copy, Proofs of the Resurrection. Immediately following that, those that would like to have them done, we have someone on hand that will be doing the photographs, family photographs of each family that's worshiping with us on Sunday morning. That photograph will be made. It will be in full color, 8x10, and it will be yours free as a memento of worshiping with us on Easter Sunday. So let me remind you, Easter Sunday celebration, the day starts at 8:30 in the morning with breakfast, Bible study, worship service, the signing and the giving out of the first copies of Proof of the Resurrection book, and then the family photos. So let me encourage you to be found faithful. Be with us on Sunday morning. Looking forward to meeting you. If we've not met you as our audience, we'd look forward to having you with us this Easter. If you're not in a church, if you're not actively involved in a church, or if you're looking for a church home where the gospel is proclaimed without apology, and where we stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We'd love to have you be with us this Sunday for Easter celebration. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over to the question or comment, please.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Is this the watchman on the wall?
This is the watchman on the wall, absolutely.
I tried to get to you yesterday, but you really had quite a guest on there who is really bringing out the truth. And, you know, the truth doesn't let us free. It makes us free.
Absolutely.
You know, and I appreciate you, and I just wish that your program was going into all the country, you know, reaching everyone. You are certainly bringing out the truths and what's going on in America today. And America's going to hell in a handbasket, and those of us who believe will be rescued. I have no fear, and your preaching, what you're bringing out, should just instill that no fear. You know, we haven't been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
And, you know, I just want to thank you. And another, I just wanted to bring something out to you that I heard yesterday about where all of this trash is coming from. You know, a lot of it's coming from the pulpits.
Unfortunately, you're true. You're right. I'm saddened by that. I'm saddened by the fact that multitudes, perhaps meaning well, I don't know, the hearts, perhaps meaning well, perhaps bringing out from some denominational dogma, they're slanting their position on it. This is the reason I've always said I'm a central Biblicist. It doesn't make any difference to me what a denomination says, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever ism or schism it may be, as I call it. I could care less. It's what's the Word of God say in context that makes the difference in life and living and for the eternal future of mankind. And so it is my prayer every day that pastors will wake up, sit up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and not be frightened and fearful and without fear and without apology. To speak the truth with love, standing on the Word of God. That means not embracing the Sodomite lifestyle. That means challenging D.C., challenging Tallahassee, challenging the Marble Castle downtown right in our own city, because God holds the pastors responsible. In fact, in history, we will find a church member, a Christian, will not grow any more in depth spiritually than the stand and the spiritual knowledge and understanding and the position of the pastor. And so this is the reason it's so true. Go back to something earlier that you said. Also, it is our prayer and desire to see multitudes of our listeners jump on board and say, we're concerned, we're interested, we want to hold your hands up as you continue to carry out this Facing the Issues each day, so that we can broaden the base, so that we can reach out to other stations and do some simulcasting with others across the nation to get the truth heard, as I believe in the last days we ought to. And it should be the passion of every child of God, for every Christian, for every conservative, for us to take a stand.
Well, you know, these pastors have not been given a free rein to alter the Word of God. You know, we're not even, if I was a pastor, but, you know, we're not given the privilege of even altering one word out of the Word of God. You know, the Scripture tells us that.
Yes. Well, one of the major problems that we're finding, Bob, is that denominational distinctives take priority over biblical doctrine so many times in so many churches. And as a result of that, pastors can speak on to what their denominational distinctives will allow them to. As I preach hermeneutics, that is the art and science of biblical interpretation, in the college and the university, as I preach ecclesiology, that is the doctrine of the church, I tell pastors, and I've heard pastors many times in the classroom say, well, you know, I'm not allowed to say this, I'm not allowed to say that. And if it is the truth of the Word of God, I say, if you can't do it in the church that you're in, find a church that you have the freedom to preach the Word of God without apology and without fear of somebody challenging and or tying your hands where you can. But, Bob, keep on praying. Keep on praying. We need to pray. Keep on looking up and expecting God to show up at any time in the calling the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ home. It is my desire to see every Christian keep on looking up, lifting up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Bob, thank you so much, and have a blessed day. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
You know, you've already articulated many of the points, but we are currently in the midst of spiritual warfare and an attack on Christianity, Christendom internationally, but we see it even in the headship, the change of leadership in D.C. It was yesterday announced by the State Department. They're switching gears, and the international religious freedom agenda within the State Department established under Trump would be scrapped, and they would have an international focus on LGBT rights. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you love, you know, and of course that's code language, you know, and it doesn't matter who you love. The reality is, your radicals within that movement, within that group, within that lifestyle, your radicals are directly at odds with the core of Christianity. Now, it's interesting. You step backwards to the Obama administration. You had a focus on Muslim outreach. Well, those within Sharia law are fundamentally at odds with Christianity. We see this in the midst of the past 18, 24 months, with the rise of the BLM movement, the cultural Marxist movement, that was fully embraced and it's at odds. Cultural Marxism is at odds with Christianity, but it's moved into the classroom. They want to teach the 1619 Project, which is an agenda to tear down any trust, reliance, faith in the founding of this country and the goodness of this country. And all the way to the point, an ADF Alliance Defending Freedom posted this story recently, a little girl in school. All these kids, you know, they're being compelled to wear masks, you know, because they're dangerous. These kids are just dangerous. They're compelled to wear, that's ridiculous, folks, but they're compelled to wear these masks, and kids can wear a mask with a message or no message, and kids will come into school with football team messages and BLM messages, but little Susie, I don't know her name, we'll call her little Susie, showed up with a Jesus Loves Me mask on her face. She was called aside, told that she's going to need to remove that and replace it with something with no message. And the parents found out about this, contacted school, what are you doing? They didn't have an established policy. It was everybody needs to wear a mask, basically wear whatever mask you want. And they immediately shifted their policy to include language that if the mask had an offensive message on it or a sectarian message, this sort of thing, that message must be squelched, which was worse than having no policy at all. And again, y'all folks go to ADF and take a look at the story, and you'll see what's going on in this nation. There is a definitive assault on Christendom taking place today. And for us to have pastors in the pulpit that don't realize that to me is the most hurtful and harmful, to not realize that, to not share it with folks. I mean, folks are blind to the reality that God's word is true. And Jesus said, if they hate you, know that they hated me first. We've got Christians that think somehow or another we're supposed to be, embracing the world and embraced by the world. Yeah, Jesus loves sinners, but I'll tell you what, he didn't embrace the sin. He didn't say okay to the sin. He was the one that flipped the money changers' tables in the temple. He's the one that called the Pharisees, you know, whited sepulchers, dead men's bones, you know. Come on, folks. Call right, right, and wrong, wrong. Speak the truth in love. This notion that the world's going to love you, that's insane.
Absolutely. Greg, you have stated it and hit the nail right on the head, as I call it, spot on as to what you have said. And part and parcel of that we're seeing today is that we have a totally corrupted governmental system, and in that it's bad enough to have a corrupted theological, doctrinal, spiritual system, but we have a corrupted governmental system, and you touched on it with what's taking place with the Biden administration. In the Biden administration, in the appointment of his cabinet heads and everything in the peripheral from that, either are of the sodomite lifestyle, LGBTQ lifestyle, or they embrace the sodomite lifestyle, or they are have sympathy with the sodomite lifestyle. And all that they're doing today is promulgating, pushing, and mandating future position of America to accept abortion. That's murder by way of abortion, to embrace abortion, and to submit, surrender, and to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. That's all part of the Equality Act, House Bill H.R. 5. That's the total part and parcel of H.R. 5. And if H.R. 5 sees light of day, i.e., if it passes in the U.S. Senate and is signed by Joe Biden, it will destroy. And I want our listeners to understand, it won't just hurt and harm. It will destroy the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will destroy religious liberties. It will destroy freedom of speech. It will destroy the churches and Christian universities and Christian colleges, Christian adoption agencies, and anything, any organization where Christians are going to depend on their faith and stand on the Word of God. Greg, I'm concerned about that.
Well, we've seen the cancel culture that's kicked into high gear. You know, Mr. Potato Head's a problem. Dr. Seuss is a problem. I mean, I trust Dr. Seuss more than I trust Dr. Fauci. But folks need to realize this is not going to stop. This is not going to slow down. And right now is the time to stand up. If you can't stand up now, do not presume that when there's complete totalitarianism, that somehow or another you're going to be allowed to stand up. I mean, right now, the whack-a-mole that they've been doing on Twitter and Facebook and Google and these places where they've squelched the voices of conservatives, they intend to make that systemic. throughout the system, and within your tech oligarchs, your top notch, your top tier of technology in the United States is on board with this, but they intend to make it governmental. So federal, state, local, you're told if you have a Christian opinion, if you have a Christian worldview, you need to sit down and shut up. And if you're offended by anything the world's doing, you need to sit down and shut up. You know, it's the old close your ears, don't say anything. It's fine if somebody says, hey, I'm offended by your Christian worldview. I'm okay with that. I'm offended by, but guess what? This is an open society. We're allowed to discuss these things. This notion of everything being called a hate crime. Matter of fact, you know, the love Trump's hate sign that you saw a lot of, what they're saying is, your Christianity is hate. What the Bible says is hate. Now, I have news for you, folks. It's just the opposite. When somebody says, you know what's going on here is sin, and you need to, you're either going to face the consequence or you're going to accept the propitiation, the payment that covers that, that's not hate, that's love. When somebody loves you enough to say what you're doing is wrong, by the way, moms and dads, you should know that. Moms and dads, you should know that. Your kids ought to be the first ones you're willing to confront with this and share this with. If you're not sharing, you don't love them. And right on down the line, as the culture, as you're confronting the culture confronts you. If you're not willing to speak the truth in love and call these things out, you're not being salt and light. You're not doing your part. And it's not hate. It's not hate. Sharing the truth with somebody is not hate.
And the reason you're touching on that, I believe, and the element of that that is so cohesive with what we're talking about today is the fact that in the Equality Act, House Bill H.R. 5, the Equality Act, it will make everything that is said from a Christian perspective, it will put it in the category of hate speech. And for our listeners' benefit, Greg, let me remind them the telephone number is 831-0917. They can dial in, ask questions, join in the dialogue and discussion. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says Joe Biden puts pro-life groups on the domestic extremist terrorist list. He calls pro-life people violent. This is dated March 29, 2021. Joe Biden administration included pro-life activists on a list of domestic violence extremist list. And in your report for the Office of Director of the National Intelligence, further the article says, the report did not name specific groups or individuals, but it did identify several threat categories of extremists, as they're called, including pro-lifers, abortion activists, animal rights activists, anti-government groups, anarchists, and race groups. Abortion-related domestic violence extremists have ideological agendas in support of pro-life, pro-choice, according to the report. And it defined domestic violence extremists as U.S.-based actors who conduct or threaten activities that are dangerous to human life in violation of the criminal law of the United States of America, appearing to be intended to intimidate or coerce civilian population and influence the government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. And it goes on to talk about pro-life activists are peaceful, this article says, but under the Biden administration, pro-life people, those that say that the election was stolen, those that talk about the coup that overthrew the president, President Donald J. Trump, for those that will say that it is murder to abort a baby, then we are all considered the domestic terrorists today.
Tell me when the last time was, and maybe somebody can call and set me straight on this. Tell me when the last time was you saw a pro-life advocate kill someone. Now, that's happened. You step back in time. There was a man that killed an abortion provider, a doctor that was murdering children. Killed him. And I'm not saying that that's right. But I think I've heard of one case of that, okay? And that was decades ago. Now, we know the Gosnell story and the horrors associated with that. Now, if we're just measuring things, I think there's much more, and we're not to equivocate, you know, we're not to, compare and rationalize. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying I only know of one case where you had violence. Are they saying that folks that are standing in front of an abortion clinic holding signs that say things like save the babies, save the baby? Are they saying that those individuals are somehow or another domestic terrorists? Is that what they're telling us? It's believe us, not your lying eyes. Is that where we are today?
Absolutely. And it's not only that, Greg, but those that will preach or speak the truth from the pulpits. If the Equality Act is ratified and it becomes law, any pastor that prints, publishes, preaches, or distributes any material that's antithetical to the sodomite lifestyle or antithetical to the abortion mandate and desire, it will be considered hate speech and will be prosecuted, persecuted, fined, and or imprisoned for 15 to 25 years, according to what is written presently being worked through the Senate already passed in the House. Greg, hold on. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Greg, how are you today? Thank you for taking my call.
Good to hear from you.
Hello?
Thank you for calling in. Looking forward to sharing what you say.
I'm calling about HR 5, gentlemen.
All right. Tell me what's your opinion. Have you ready to think about it? Is it good, bad, or indifferent? Should that be passed?
No. I'm going to be honest with you. HR 5, the Equality Act, is nothing but a straight-up assault on the First Amendment. It's an assault because it is based on emotion. The First Amendment, you know, speech has consequence. If you run into a theater and you yell fire, you're going to get in trouble for that. But HR 5 takes it to a higher level there, and it brings an emotional component into it. And that emotional component, it could be interpreted there. Just because you hate someone's speech does not make it hate speech. And HR 5 actually justifies that someone else's right to actually be offended, which I don't believe in there. You can't go through life without being offended once or twice.
Absolutely, and you're exactly right. Greg, how do you respond to that statement? Greg, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. In the midst of driving, going from here to there, I'm just thinking about the fact we're shutting off what was a free society. I mean, the squelching of, and Jim's approached it the right way, the shutting off, the squelching of the First Amendment will turn us into something totally, totally different than what we've been since 1791. And, of course, that's the ring with the ratification, the Bill of Rights and such. We are familiar with this sort of oppression under the crown of King George, you know, where essentially, unless it's we can't offend the crown kind of thing, and we're returning to that now. And it's not only you can't offend the crown, but you can't offend anything that the crown tells you not to offend. It's almost like a North Korean type model. We know the story of the young fellow, the what's his name, Warmbier, that was sent home. Warmbier was put in jail. What did he do? Apparently, he stayed in a hotel, and on the back side of the hotel room door, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he removed a poster that had little Kim Jong Il, whatever his name is, had a picture of him on it. He was going to take this poster home with him. Well, this was found out very quickly, and they caught him before he left the country. He was put in jail. He was tortured. He was eventually, once he was, you know, comatose pretty well, he was sent back home to the United States and shortly thereafter died. Okay? But thing was, you do not offend the state in North Korea. If you offend the state in North Korea, you may face hard prison time. We're headed toward that in America today if they're allowed to push the agenda that they'd like to with this HB 5, HB 4, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your call. And one article, Greg, I'm looking at here says the American Civil War is over Judeo-Christian values. And it's a Dennis Prager article. Conservatives often speak of Judeo-Christian values and how current civil war in the United States and the rest of the West is essentially a battle between those values at the left, which reject the Judeo-Christian values. We'll talk more about that, Greg, after the top of the hour news break. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll take 1 minute for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues we're talking about today, the war on God and Christian values.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.